Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much, but you want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take your smartphone, your Alexa speakers, your tablet, your camcorder, your Nextel, your Computron 3000, whatever your device is. Just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to be a part of the show is through our personal Twitter handles. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show on the other side of the glass, as always, Day-Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. A lot to get into with you here tonight, as Jim Ross would say, busier than a fruit merchant. A lot to get into. We'll obviously talk plenty of Falcons football. This will be my first chance to react to everything that happened on Sunday. And we'll have Daniel Flick join us coming up at 7:40. tonight. So we'll spend a lot of time, the whole segment actually coming up here in about 18 minutes from right now. But certainly another big win for the Falcons at home. And look, here's the thing, okay? Just the general sense of everything. Don't apologize for winning. I heard, you know, oh, well, Bakhtiari was out and Aaron Jones and this and that or whatever like that. Now we're seeing already that David Montgomery's going to be out for this game. They're starting safety, who's one of the better defensive backs in the NFL, one of the better starting safeties in the league. He's not going to be available. So the Lions are already getting banged up and beat up going into this game. You know what? You don't apologize for 2-0, and hopefully it's going to be 3-0. I don't care if every good player for every team we play is out for the year. Nobody will remember those kinds of things. Your record is what your record. Day-Day, let's look here. Let's see. I'm on ESPN, Day-Day, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'm on ESPN.com. I'm going to NFL up at the top there, and I'm looking at standings. And I see the Falcons are 2-0, which, by the way, three teams in the NFC South, 2-0. Most surprising, Tampa Bay. Oh, how was the Chicago Bears doing this year? Weren't they going to have like their step up year and all that kind of stuff? Oh, they stink. Oh, okay. Anyway, so let's see here. You know what? I don't see any BCS computers as far as how the Falcons are ranked. I don't see any Harris poll. I don't see any coaches poll. I don't see any SIDs that are voting for everything. So guess what? We're 2-0. And by the way, I think that there are, what, seven teams in the NFL that are 2-0? I think it's the most ever teams that are
2-0. Yeah, I think it was
2-0.
Like six in the NFC, five or six in the NFC, and yeah, I think a couple in the AFC side.
Yeah, seven in the NFC, three teams in the East, three teams in the South, and the 49ers are all 2-0 on the season. By the way, too, I don't know if you know this stat, but, you know, the last 2 years with the extra playoff spot, okay, with now seven teams and now the 17-game schedule,
right.
Hey, 13 teams over the last, not counting this year, because, again, we don't have the full data, 13 teams the last 2 years have been 2-0. 11 of those teams have made the playoffs. 11 of the 13 teams the last 2 years have made the playoffs. Now, again, we'll see how this plays out. We're not counting this year because we don't have the playoffs yet. But again, 61% since the league expanded to 32 teams, 2-0 teams are in the playoffs. And 11 of the last 13 teams over the last 2 years have been in the playoffs. So you're sitting pretty as far as postseason play goes. So, again, you don't apologize for being 2-0. Now, we'll get into the game. I'll also give you what Desmond Ridder's best attribute is. Let me mention a couple things, too. We had a lot of fun on Friday out at Tower Beer and Wine and Spirits. Do you know that that is the number one they have multiple locations. That's like the number one place on the East Coast as far as like alcohol sales or something like that. It's absurd.
Oh, wow.
I mean, they were busy nonstop. I mean, nonstop. And we had a lot of fun out there. It was a good time seeing all the folks. We gave away some Atlanta United tickets. How'd that messy thing work out? What a joke. Can I tell you? Let me say this real quickly. What a joke that Messi wasn't there. Messi didn't even travel with the team. And Tata Martino's excuse was a bunch of malarkey, a bunch of falderall, a bunch of hooey, horse fritters, caca, whatever you want to put on it, was a bunch of ridiculousness. I promise you that MLS and Apple were not thrilled about the idea of Messi not even. This is Atlanta. It's the number one market in the country as far as attendance goes. They're one of the premier franchises. And again, this is a marquee matchup. By the way, we just talked about they're trying to make the playoffs, right? Didn't they just come out and say, oh, we're trying to make the playoffs. Then they only play Joseph Martinez in the last 10 minutes, and they don't have Messi even travel. What a joke. What a joke for and fans were gypped. I'll say it. They were gypped. They were gypped out of all that. You know what, Day-Day? I should have damn gone on the field and done my snow angels and done the whole turf thing. Anyway, that's my rant for tonight. So we'll talk more about the Falcons coming up here. All right, Bravos. Braves have the worst ERA in the month of September. Look, you play 145 games to clinch and all that. You're tired. You're worn out. Guess what? For all of the nonsense and for as bad as the Braves have played here of late, losing three to the Marlins, getting pounded on last night, Braves are still 3.5 games up. Braves are still 3.5 games up for the best record in the big leagues. They still have a 3.5 game lead over the Dodgers. The Braves have stunk it up, and they still have a 3.5 game lead. With what, 12 to play? Braves are at 150 games right now. So again, and guess what? They have the Nationals 7 of the last 10 games of the year. 7 of the last 10 against the dreadful, pond scum, scum-sucking Nationals. You don't think their bags are packed already? You don't think they're looking toward the future? Yeah, of course. Guys are resting, guys are this, whatever. So again, I have no concern about the Braves right now. We'll get concerned about they get in a short series and they end up losing, then I'm going to be all over it. But right now, I ain't worried. I ain't worried. The Braves are still the best team in baseball. That hasn't changed. Nothing about that has changed. They're still 3.5 games up on the Dodgers with 12 to play. And they've got the dreadful Nationals coming up here for a whole bunch of their games. 12 games left, 7 against the Nationals. That's a good place to be, folks. That's a good place to be right now if you're trying to secure home field and all this other good kind of stuff. So Spencer Strider gets the start tonight. We'll obviously keep you up to date about everything going on with the Bravos. So we'll see if they can get back on the winning track after having dropped now 4 in a row here. And let's beat the Philadelphia Phillies. So I did TV on Sunday night, Day-Day, and the producer, Megan Smedley, the producer for 11 Alive Sports and all that kind of stuff, she's from Philadelphia, big Phillies fan. And I said on air, I said, Philadelphia Phillies.
How'd she take that?
She was just shaking her head. She was rolling her eyes. Yeah. We also, it was Joe Patrick and I that did the Sunday night show.
Okay, nice.
And we had a lot of fun because Joe had said that he could throw 69 miles an hour, and I was caught off guard about the whole 69 thing, whatever like that. So anyway, all right, college football. Look, was it close? Sure. Did anybody really think that Georgia was going to lose that game? In all honesty, did anybody think that Georgia was going to lose that game to South Carolina? They completely dominated the second half. For all of the great things that South Carolina was doing the first half and all this, and Shane Beamer said, oh, yeah, we're dominating them. He ain't dominating nothing. Again, you have to play two halves. There was never a doubt in that game that Georgia was going to win it. I don't care if, again, you could be the most pessimistic Georgia Bulldog fan on earth. There was not a chance that they were going to win that game. Sorry, just the reality of it. Tech playing any defense here lately?
Don't get me started on them.
I mean,
And you know what? They made it competitive for what, like 3 quarters?
Yeah, I mean, Judkins was barely playing. I mean, he had 13 carries. He was kind of hampered going into the game.
Yeah.
So we knew he was, you know, again, he was going to play, but he wasn't the Quinshon Judkins that, again, who led the SEC in rushing last year. He wasn't that kind of player.
Mm-mm.
But Tech's defense just let them all down.
Yeah, they just, yeah. It's like that. I mean, you go back to the Louisville opener and then that game Saturday, and it's like they're showing they can compete, but they're not showing finish. There's no finish.
Well, that's the thing Brent Key talked about was, you know, again, Haynes King had 310 yards in passing in the game. Again, they can't close out. And look, did I think the Tech was going to go in there and win? No. But you got to win your 50-50 games. The Louisville game. Look, the Louisville game is a worse loss than what going into Ole Miss was.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, they've got to get some things figured out, and, you know, we'll see. But they have to get themselves – look, you can't drop these 50-50 games against, like, the Louisvilles of the world and think you're going to make a bowl game.
Right.
And isn't that the goal this year?
Yep.
How about State? 3-0 for the first time in program history. Granger was unbelievable in that game against Charlotte. Remember, they lost that game by a point. Mm-hmm. Last year.
Yep.
And Charlotte was a pretty good team last year. They lost that game by a point. But State's 3-0 for the first time in program history. And look, all the bouquets and accolades, I mean, to them. I mean, again, it doesn't matter who you're beating, whatever. Just continue to pile up. Win and advance. Win and advance. Again, nobody's going to worry about what Georgia look like against South Carolina if they're sitting at 13-0 after the SEC title game, you know, going into the playoffs. Nobody's going to care. Well, you know, they played South Carolina close. Who cares? They're 13-0. They've won the SEC and they're 13-0. They won the best conference in football and they're 13-0. Who cares what they did against South Carolina? Who cares? So anyway, and look, what do we got? Clemson and South Carolina coming up on Saturday.
Florida State.
Yeah. I was thinking South Carolina the brain. Clemson and Florida State, because I've been penciling that game in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that game. So we'll see what happens. I didn't see Florida beating Tennessee like the way that they did.
I did, actually.
Really?
Well, I didn't see them beating them the way they did, but yeah, I picked them to win that game.
They kicked the crap out of Florida. Yeah. They kicked the crap out of Tennessee.
Well, they needed to prove it to us win. They needed to prove it to us game.
Are they still aren't they still trying to prove it? Because
yeah, they are. Again, they got a ways to go.
Yeah,
that was a good start.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a first step, baby steps, right? All right, thoughts on the Falcons game and I'm going to tell you what Desmond Ridder's greatest attribute is. It's very simple. It's been the same thing in college, and it's the same thing in the NFL. Chuck Reed hanging out in the Kia Studios Tuesday night with you. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
We'll be right back.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at it. Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Tuesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That's both our phone line and our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. If you want to call up and give your thoughts about what we saw on Sunday with the Falcons, you can certainly do that here. We'll talk to Falcons reporter Daniel Flick coming up here in about 20 minutes from right now. But look, it was another really good win for the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. And I don't care what the circumstances are or anything like that. I don't care what the circumstances are going into Sunday. You win in the NFL, you win in the NFL. You don't apologize for winning in the NFL, especially in the NFL. And again, another conference win, you're 2-0 at home. Everything is trending upward for the Falcons. Obviously, you know, again, we just talked about the playoff numbers and all that kind of stuff. Are there things to clean up and fix? Absolutely. So a couple of things, takeaways, okay? Day-Day, this is – I've talked about this for 2 years now. And I talked about the reason Desmond Ridder was my favorite Falcons draft pick last year, okay? And this is his greatest attribute. It's winning. Winning. That is his greatest attribute. He was a winner in college. He's now a winner at the NFL level. I don't care that if you play whoever, I don't care if you play in the chicken crap league, if you're in the NFL and you're 4-2 as a starter, you're 4-2 as a starter. Would you rather him be 2-4 and have all kinds of questions? Desmond Ridder is never going to wow you with his stats and his flashiness and how far he can throw it, and all these different things. He's never going to wow you with his statistical performances. But what he is a winner. And he showed his moxie in that fourth quarter. I think the Packers only had the ball for 3 minutes total in the fourth quarter. Obviously, we've outscored teams 27-0 in the fourth quarter in the first couple of games. Now, obviously, we ran the football really well. The interception that Desmond Ridder had, I don't even necessarily put that on him. He was hit as he was releasing the ball. That was a floating duck that he threw out there. Your offensive line is still struggling to pass block. And that's why, again, 45 carries for 211 yards. That's our football game, right? Ridder had the one touchdown late in that game to cut it down to what? Cut it down to 5 or 2. I can't remember which one that was. But again, Bijan Robinson, he was terrific. Now, I will say this. People are getting frustrated about the targets for Pitts or this or that. Look, this is the reality. This is the reality of the Falcons. And I'm not saying this in a bad way. The Falcons have too many weapons. The Falcons have too many guys that can make plays on their offense. And I think that it's going to be a week-by-week-by-week thing as far as taking advantage of whatever matchup is in front of you. Taking advantage of whatever. If Drake London is the guy to target, then it's going to be London. If it's Mac Hollins, then it's Mac Hollins. If it's Kyle Pitts, it's Kyle Pitts. If it's Bijan Robinson, it's Bijan Robinson. If it's Tyler Algier, it's Tyler Algier. Like they're going to exploit whatever matchups are in front of you. And that's what Arthur Smith is a master at. He's going to exploit those matchups. Now, what have we talked about? Red zone, red zone, red zone, okay? So the Falcons for the year are 5 of 8 in the red zone. Now, I will say that the final possession when they were in the red zone was really all about setting up the game-winning field goal, okay? Now, the Falcons stand right now. They're tied for 13th in the league in red zone touchdown percentage. They're tied with San Francisco, Miami, Atlanta, and Washington are all 62.5%. If you take away the red zone possession at the end of the game where they were just basically, look, they weren't looking at scoring a touchdown. They were setting up to kick the field goal. They'd be 71.43%, which guess what? That would put them fourth in the NFL. That would put them in a tie with New England, Seattle, in Indianapolis. They'd be fourth in the NFL. Now, I will say, we still have to find a pass rush. So far, not so good as far as the pass rush goes. And the play by Kaden Ellis that he made was a big play in that game. That sack was a big play. And by the way, did you see when you get pass rush on our team and they throw, again, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. Sacking the quarterback, it makes all the difference in the world. You know what part of the deal was? When you put teams into obvious situations. So on that Kaden Ellis sack, they were in a 3rd and 15, okay? That's an obvious passing down, right? Day-Day, right? You understand?
Yep.
Obvious passing down. What did we talk about? If you put teams in that position, you can tee off on them.
Mm-hmm. Down and distance.
Yep, down and distance. When you put teams, that's where mistakes happen. That's where bad things go on. You put teams into obvious situations that you can dictate to them on offense. Look, Jordan Love, by and large, wasn't pressured in that game. And I thought he played well. But when they needed a play, that Kaden Ellis sack late in the game, they only used 19 seconds on that final drive. Think about that. They only used 19 seconds on that final drive when they turned the football over on the 4 and out. And by the way, that penalty, that illegal motion or shift or whatever like that, That was a huge penalty. Just as far as you didn't. That was not a pre-snap penalty. If that had been pre-snap penalty, they'd have gotten the ball one more time. Don't know if they'd done anything with it, but pre-snap penalty. But anyway, Ronald Acuna leads off the game with a home run. So better news tonight for the Atlanta Braves. We'll keep you up to date all night long about all of that. But look, I thought the defense played well. I thought they ran the football really well. They got enough receptions out of, again, London had a really good game. 6 catches, 67 yards, and a touchdown. Matt Collins had a couple of big catches in that game. Robinson was doing his thing out of the backfield. Jonnu Smith, I thought, played well in the game. Are there things to clean up? Absolutely. Trey Flowers, we're not going to see him again. We're not going to see Trey Flowers starting anytime soon. Okuda will probably be back this week against the Detroit Lions and get him on the revenge tour, but it'll either be Jeff Okuda or Mike Hughes playing the second cornerback position. But that was a quality win. And I joked about on Twitter, and I was having some fun on Twitter. Are we now calling him Desmond Ice? The Desmond Ice now? That was a 12-point come-from-behind victory going into the fourth quarter. And I didn't know what they had in store. Again, Desmond Ridder's best attribute is that he's a winner. And what did I talk about, Day-Day? I don't even know if you were around when we were talking about this. What have I talked about? Desmond Ridder's a winner. I don't care about his stats. You know, by the way, his stats in college, he wasn't 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns in college. He was a good, but not an outstanding collegiate quarterback. Hey, he wasn't in the Heisman race. He wasn't throwing for all kinds of yards, putting up all these numbers. He wasn't throwing for 40 touchdowns. He wasn't doing all those things. But you know what he did every week for multiple years? Win football games. Win football games. And get his team to a place that had never been done before. Not just Cincinnati, but a non-Power 5 team that found themselves in the playoffs. All he did was win, win, win. And guess what he's doing now? What's he doing? He's winning, winning, winning. Doesn't always have to be pretty. The stats don't always have to be, you know, outstanding. Desmond Ridder doesn't have to play lights out. But when they need him and he needs to make a play, he finds a way to get it done. And those little plays that he makes, you know, again, you saw at times his football IQ where, yes, he wants to be in the pocket and throw the football. But there were a couple of times when that one play on that third and three, when you knew that they were coming after him, and again, he stepped up and made the decision to run pretty quickly and just pick up the first down. Live to get the first down and then live for another day. Put a fresh set of downs up on the board and just take your first down. Take your 3-4 yards, slide, and obviously he knows how to slide. We didn't see that with Marcus Mariota last year. But the kid is a winner. And that's the thing about it. If you're worried about stats and, you know, targets and completion percentages and all this kind of stuff, that's not Desmond Ridder. That's not what Desmond Ridder is all about. Desmond Ridder is about winning football games and not harming his team and putting them in jeopardy. Marcus Mariota put us in danger, and that's why we lost football games. He would make game-changing plays that cost this team victories. Desmond Ridder's not doing that. Even the interception. That, again, I won't blame Desmond Ridder. He was hit as soon as he threw it, and again, it was a lollipop that he threw up there. And it wasn't like he was targeting. Now, again, can he play better? Absolutely. Jaire Alexander dropped a pick six. They dropped another interception. Guess what? That's those 4 to 6 plays in a football game that dictate the outcome. Let's repeat that. That's the 4 to 6 plays that dictate the outcome of a game. You know, we still left points on the field. That first drive down in the red zone was frustrating. Like, how can you not punch it in from the 1-yard line? Arthur should have ran the football. When you get down that deep and you've got all those weapons, run the football in. You got Algier and Robinson. The Leinart push. Or do the Bush push. Whatever you got to do. But you got to punch that in there down in the red zone. That was a frustrating time. Falcons left points on the board. Packers left points on the board. But those 4 to 6 plays in a game that really dictates, we were on the positive end of it. And again, there are things that have to be cleaned up, this, that, and the other. But still, you're 2-0. We're 2-0, and we have obviously a good chance going up to Detroit. Now, look, Detroit's a good team. What have we talked about all offseason? Detroit's up arrow, right? They lost last week. They lost in overtime to Seattle on their home field. Seattle's a good team. We talked to Steve Wyche about this. He was impressed by what the Seahawks were doing. And again, it's not going to be an easy game to win. I think the Lions are, I think they're a 3-point favorite in the game. But can we go up there and win? Absolutely. We play our style of football, right? We don't get too far out of our comfort level. I'm still surprised that Desmond Ridder threw it 32 times. I think that was trying to get him more balanced. And again, they ran it 45 times, you know, when the game was all said and done. But I'm still surprised that he threw it 32 times. Like, I didn't think he'd throw it 32 times.
Yeah, I thought about you when I saw that final stat line. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, 7.4 yards per attempt. I'll take that every day of the week. And by the way, he was only sacked one time. Justin Fields was sacked 4 times the week before. He was only sacked once. And part of that is because Desmond made some heady plays. Like, he got out of danger, you know, as the pocket was collapsing on him. So, great win for the Falcons. We'll talk to Daniel Flick here coming up in just a few minutes. Chuck Rehane, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening with you. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, coming up Sunday will be the Falcons' first game on the road as they head up to Detroit to take on the Lions, coming off of another stunning win, 25-24 over the Green Bay Packers. Let's head up to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy Daniel Flick, Falcons writer for Fan Nation, part of the SI network. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at @ByDanielFlick. Daniel, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show with me here tonight.
Yeah, for sure, man. Happy to hop back on with you and excited to talk some ball.
You know, I was talking about this in the last segment, that, and I know people are frustrated about, you know, Pitts' targets and London's targets in the first game or this, then the other. But this is what I say about that. And I don't say this in a bad way when I say this. They have too many weapons. You know, they have too many guys that they can get the football to. And I think, Daniel, moving forward, I think that this is going to be a week-to-week thing where they're going to take the matchup that favors them most and exploit that. And if that means Pitts doesn't get as many targets or London doesn't get as many targets, they're going to exploit the matchups that benefit them most because they have so much personnel on offense.
Yep, I agree, and I think even more importantly, Arthur Smith agrees. This is something that he's touched on several times as well of late, and I personally could not agree more. You know, I think when you look at the way that Arthur Smith wants to run his offense and how run-heavy he'd like to be, there's not enough targets to go around to where you're going to satisfy everybody. And, you know, we've heard Arthur talk about, you know, the fantasy football community and kind of their, you know, how loud and vocal they are about some of those things. But you're right. I completely agree with you. I think that really the Falcons have so much versatility with how they can win. And I think that's kind of, as you said, it's going to create just some, you know, some outside frustration with, you know, the week-to-week target share and kind of how that varies. But, you know, for the Falcons, Arthur Smith said earlier this week, you know, he will never apologize for winning. And regardless of how they do it, I think he's solely focused on capitalizing on that week-to-week advantage, as you mentioned. You know, whether it's, obviously, week one, we saw London have, I believe, one or two targets. You know, I think Kyle Pitts had three targets. But Algier had a really good game. Robinson had a really good game. This week, you could kind of see London and Pitts, especially in the first half, receive a kind of more of a focal point offensively. And then, you know, as the second half wore on, you kind of saw more of a balanced attack that was very exciting, kind of seeing all of the the various weapons in the arsenal kind of come together. And so I think kind of looking back at your initial point, I fully agree. I think that it's not at all a bad thing. It's going to frustrate some people on the outside, but inside the Falcons have a group of guys who just want to win. And they have the pieces to attack, you know, if you're really good, you know, on run, you know, if you're facing a good pass rush or a really good run defense or whatever it may be, the Falcons have the pieces to where you can attack whatever it may be. And that's what you're going to need to win games, not only now, but as you progress later into the year. And then obviously Atlanta aspires to play well into late January. And so I think that'll prove very important as the year plays on.
We know the first round pick for the Falcons has been outstanding thus far in the first couple of games. How do you think Matthew Bergeron has played so far in these first two games?
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about this the other day. He has not had his name called very often, whether it be for good or bad. And I think for an offensive lineman, that is an overwhelmingly positive thing. You know, he's been steady. And it's not necessarily a high bar, but if you look back at Jalen Mayfield in 2021, week one was a disaster. Clearly not ready. And it really just snowballed from there. Matthew Bergeron, we have not seen any of that. He held his own throughout training camp. He held his own in the preseason. And so far, he's been very, very good. And it's felt like watching that the Falcons have had more success running left than they have running right. And the Falcons invested $135 million, if I'm not mistaken, on the right side of their offensive line. So that left side with Matthews – Matthew Bergeron has been very, very impressive so far to me. And again, you kind of, I think a lot of people forget with Matthew Bergeron that he had one practice at left guard in his entire football career when he arrived in Atlanta for rookie minicamp earlier this year. And the fact that he's been able to acclimate as quickly as he has been very impressive. And you're only going to see him improve, you know, the more that he kind of sees and experiences some of these various things that he's got to adapt to. He's touched a lot about the speed of the game and just the adjustment that you have in that regard, how much quicker you have to be with your hands and feet and everything inside as opposed to outside. It's a big learning curve and one that not a lot of people fully grasp at times, I think, but it's one that he's handled very well. And again, you look at the way that Mayfield played. Even last year, Elijah Wilkinson, you know, Atlanta had a bit of a revolving door at left guard last year. Matthew Bergeron has been nothing but steady so far. And again, he was always more of an upside play. And so I think the Falcons are very, very encouraged with what they've seen so far.
Daniel Flick joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Falcons reporter for Fan Nation. Excuse me, as we talk about Falcons win last week over the Green Bay Packers as we get ready for Falcons and Detroit Lions coming up here on Sunday. You know, I still have my concerns about the pass rush for this team and them getting home, especially with their front. I mean, with their defensive front. I mean, their defensive front, outside linebackers and things like that. And it feels like that we've had to, at times, blitz to be able to get home against quarterbacks. Is there a concern about our front line that, again, they've not been able to generate enough pressure? We're not going to see. I mean, look, the quarterback in week one was making his first ever NFL start. Even Jordan Love was only making his third NFL start. You know, again, it will ramp up at some point, and it will be guys that are more experienced. I mean, you know, we'll have our ups and downs with that. But, you know, again, I have my concerns about just – can we create any kind of steady pass rush with our front line?
Yeah, you know, I think there was so much optimism entering the year about Calais Campbell, you know, Arnold Ebiketie, kind of, if he could take that next step, even the signing of Bud Dupree, you kind of had a lot of optimism there. And so far, you know, the Falcons have flashed, I think, creating that pass rush with four, but a lot of that's come when the opponent was in an obvious passing situation. You know, again, you look at against Green Bay last Sunday, that four and out, that was, you know, their final offensive possession. The Falcons got home on Love's quite a few times throughout that possession. And then again, in the fourth quarter against Carolina, it felt like, I want to say they had five pressures, five hits on Young. And so you kind of get into those situations where you allow them to just kind of pin their ears back and go. And it seemed like they could create a little bit more. But, you know, overall, you haven't really seen, I think, the presence you were hoping to see. I know Calais Campbell said after week one that he felt he was kind of pressing a little bit. Obviously, he's at 99 career sacks right now and is really, really eagerly trying to hit the century mark. But, you know, I think as a whole, the Falcons, you know, added so much talent up front. And I believe we actually talked about this the last time I was on, just about how much optimism there was and the talent that they had and how expansive of a room they had. And, you know, the interior line has been all right with pressure. I think Onyemata's had a few hits. Obviously, you know, you have what you have with Jarrett, and he's been, you know, same old steady, consistent pressure guy inside. But that outside pass rush has obviously been a really big flaw for several years. And I think we're seeing a little bit more, you know, again, there's been times in years past where they haven't, even in those obvious passing situations, they haven't created that pressure. So I think we're still seeing a little bit of a step forward. It just may not be as big as what, you know, I think we were all hoping for.
Yeah, even the Caden Ellis play was a 3rd and 11. You know, that sack that came was an obvious passing situation, to your point.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, I think with Ryan Nielsen, one of the things that New Orleans is known for is their ability to kind of manipulate looks up front, especially, you know, using those linebackers and how they kind of rush and drop. And it's a quarterback's worst nightmare, really, with how they kind of mix those rush plans up front. Again, kind of why Ellis was pretty much unblocked. But I think that Ryan Nielsen probably has been forced to be a bit more creative and show a bit more earlier than he was probably hoping to. And again, his past and pretty much the last several years in New Orleans shows that if you have to use, you know, linebackers and have to kind of continue sending extra guys, he can do it and he can make it work. But, you know, again, I do think that right now, if you're looking at kind of an underwhelming unit, I would say that kind of outside pass rush is certainly an area the Falcons are hoping to improve in week three and then obviously throughout the rest of the year.
So we think that we're going to get, I think both Cordarrelle Patterson and Jeff Okuda are going to be back. And I think that, you know, again, I don't know if either of those guys could have played last week, but I think they were saving, you know, Okuda for a chance to get to play his former team and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, we talked about Patterson coming into the season and what kind of roles and stuff he could have. But now when you look at the reality of this offense and how it's playing out, what do you think his role is going to be? I mean, I'm going to be interested to just see what they do with him because they don't really need help running the football. So what is his role, you think, specifically going to be, you know, moving forward in this offense?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good question. And I think Arthur Smith is still trying to figure that out as well. I think you can, you know, after week one, he mentioned he's still kind of trying to figure out how to find that happy medium with Algier and Robinson's workload as well. And so I think adding Patterson into that mix, he's such a good playmaker. And, you know, I think Arthur has said on several occasions how much he values just trying to find ways to involve him, whether it be, you know, running game, passing game, however it may be. You know, throughout the offseason, the things that they consistently said is that he's going to have more of a role and kind of be used more how he was in 2021. But again, that's kind of the role we've seen Bijan have so far. And so I do think it's a good question. I think they're probably going to end up scaling Bijan's total snap count back a little bit, try to get Patterson around 5 to 10 touches a game, especially early as he's still kind of, you know, reacclimating. But again, I do think there's ways to get creative with him. Arthur's proven that in the past that he is more than willing to, you know, find ways. And I think we're probably going to end up seeing him used primarily in that same running back role that he's kind of had so far in the last 2 years. I think you'll see him involved more as a receiver this year than last. I think, you know, last year he was used more as a running back because of really the way that room ended up shaping up. But this year, I think you're probably going to see him. I don't think his total snap count's going to end up being huge, but I think it's the type of deal that when he's out there, you know, even at age 32, he's still the type of talent and the athlete to where he can break a game with, you know, one play, one carry, one touch. And even last year, you know, towards the end of the year, he was still an explosive option. And so I think really the Falcons really haven't been overly explosive this year. I don't think Arthur Smith's offense requires that. But I think adding Patterson back kind of provides a layer of explosiveness that currently isn't there. And, you know, the more creativity and the more that you can kind of mix and match pieces, obviously it's just more of a headache for, you know, opponents. And so I think with Patterson, to answer the overall question, I think you're going to see him probably get about 5 to 10, probably I'd say that 5 to 8 range for handoffs each game is probably the safest bet. And then I think you'll probably see about try to probably have 2 or 3 targets for him as well. So you're looking at around 7 to 10 overall touches for him is probably what they're aiming for. Because I think even where he's at now, he's still a guy that they want to involve and that they truly value inside that program.
Daniel Flick, he writes about the Atlanta Falcons for Fan Nation, part of the SI Network. You can find him on his personal Twitter page, @ByDanielFlick.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuck Rich Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening with you. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, coming up Sunday, be the Falcons' first game on the road as they head up to Detroit to take on the Lions, coming off of another stunning win, 25-24 over the Green Bay Packers. Let's head up to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Let's talk to our buddy Daniel Flick, Falcons writer for Fan Nation, part of the SI network. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at By Daniel Flick. Daniel, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show with me here tonight.
Yeah, for sure, man. Happy to hop back on with you and excited to talk some ball.
You know, I was talking about this in the last segment, that, and I know people are frustrated about, you know, Pitts' targets and London's targets in the first game or this, then the other. But this is what I say about that. And I don't say this in a bad way when I say this. They have too many weapons. You know, they have too many guys that they can get the football to. And I think, Daniel, moving forward, I think that this is going to be a week-to-week thing where they're going to take the matchup that favors them most and exploit that. And if that means Pitts doesn't get as many targets or London doesn't get as many targets, they're going to exploit the matchups that benefit them most because they have so much personnel on offense.
Yep, I agree, and I think even more importantly, Arthur Smith agrees. This is something that he's touched on several times as well of late, and I personally could not agree more. You know, I think when you look at the way that Arthur Smith wants to run his offense and how run-heavy he'd like to be, there's not enough targets to go around to where you're going to satisfy everybody. And, you know, we've heard Arthur talk about, you know, the fantasy football community and kind of their, you know, how loud and vocal they are about some of those things. But you're right. I completely agree with you. I think that really the Falcons have so much versatility with how they can win. And I think that's kind of, as you said, it's going to create just some, you know, some outside frustration with you know, the week-to-week target share and kind of how that varies. But, you know, for the Falcons, Arthur Smith said earlier this week, you know, he will never apologize for winning. And regardless of how they do it, I think he's solely focused on capitalizing on that week-to-week advantage, as you mentioned. You know, whether it's obviously week one, we saw London have, I believe, one or two targets. You know, I think Kyle Pitts had three targets. But Algier had a really good game. Robinson had a really good game. This week, you could kind of see London and Pitts, especially in the first half, receive a kind of more of a focal point offensively. And then, you know, as the second half wore on, you kind of saw more of a balanced attack that was very exciting, kind of seeing all of the various weapons in the arsenal kind of come together. And so I think kind of looking back at your initial point, I fully agree. I think that it's not at all a bad thing. It's going to frustrate some people on the outside, but inside the Falcons have a group of guys who just want to win, and they have the pieces to attack. You know, if you're really good, you know, on run, you know, if you're facing a good pass rush or a really good run defense or whatever it may be, the Falcons have the pieces to where you can attack whatever it may be. And that's what you're going to need to win games, not only now, but as you progress later into the year. And then obviously Atlanta aspires to play well into late January. And so I think that'll prove very important as the year plays on.
We know the first round pick for the Falcons has been outstanding thus far in the first couple of games. How do you think Matthew Bergeron has played so far in these first two games?
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about this the other day. He has not had his name called very often, whether it be for good or bad. And I think for an offensive lineman, that is an overwhelmingly positive thing. You know, he's been steady, and it's not necessarily a high bar. But if you look back at Jalen Mayfield in 2021, week one was a disaster. Clearly not ready. And it really just snowballed from there. Matthew Bergeron, we have not seen any of that. He held his own throughout training camp. He held his own in the preseason. And so far, he's been very, very good. And it's felt like watching that the Falcons have had more success running left than they have running right. And the Falcons invested $135 million, if I'm not mistaken, on the right side of their offensive line. So that left side with Matthew Bergeron has been very, very impressive so far to me. And again, I think a lot of people forget with Matthew Bergeron that he had one practice at left guard in his entire football career when he arrived in Atlanta for rookie minicamp earlier this year. And the fact that he's been able to acclimate as quickly as he has been very impressive. And you're only going to see him improve, you know, the more that he kind of sees and experiences some of these various things that he's got to adapt to. He's touched a lot about speed of the game and just the adjustment that you have in that regard, how much quicker you have to be with your hands and feet and everything inside as opposed to outside. It's a big learning curve, and one that not a lot of people fully grasp at times, I think, but it's one that he's handled very well. And again, you look at the way that Mayfield played. Even last year, Elijah Wilkinson, you know, Atlanta had a bit of a revolving door at left guard last year. Matthew Bergeron has been nothing but steady so far. And again, he was always more of an upside play. And so I think the Falcons are very, very encouraged with what they've seen so far.
Daniel Flick joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, Falcons reporter for Fan Nation. Excuse me, as we talk about Falcons win last week over the Green Bay Packers as we get ready for Falcons and Detroit Lions coming up here on Sunday. You know, I still have my concerns about the pass rush for this team and them getting home, especially with their front. I mean, with their defensive front. I mean, their defensive front, outside linebackers and things like that. And it feels like that we've had to, at times, blitz to be able to get home against quarterbacks. Is there a concern about our front line that, again, they've not been able to generate enough pressure? We're not going to see – I mean, look – the quarterback in week one was making his first ever NFL start. Even Jordan Love was only making his third NFL start. You know, again, it will ramp up at some point, and it will be guys that are more experienced. I mean, you know, we'll have our ups and downs with that. But, you know, again, I have my concerns about just can we create any kind of steady pass rush with our front line?
Yeah, you know, I think there was so much optimism entering the year about Calais Campbell, you know, and Arnold Ebiketie, kind of, if he could take that next step, even the signing of Bud Dupree, you kind of had a lot of optimism there. And so far, you know, the Falcons have flashed, I think, creating that pass rush with four, but a lot of that's come when the opponent was in an obvious passing situation. You know, again, you look at against Green Bay last Sunday, that four and out, that was, you know, their final offensive possession. The Falcons got home on Love's quite a few times throughout that possession. And then again, in the fourth quarter against Carolina, it felt like, I want to say they had five pressures, five hits on Young. And so you kind of get into those situations where you allow them to just kind of pin their ears back and go. And it seemed like they could create a little bit more. But, you know, overall, you haven't really seen, I think, the presence you were hoping to see. I know Calais Campbell said after week one that he felt he was kind of pressing a little bit. Obviously, he's at 99 career sacks right now and is really, really eagerly trying to hit the century mark. But, you know, I think as a whole, the Falcons, you know, added so much talent up front. And I believe we actually talked about this the last time I was on, just about how much optimism there was and the talent that they had and how expansive of a room they had. And, you know, the interior line has been all right with pressure. I think Onyemata's had a few hits. Obviously, you know, you have what you have with Jarrett, and he's been, you know, same old, steady, consistent pressure guy inside. But that outside pass rush has obviously been a really big flaw for several years. And I think we're seeing a little bit more, you know, again, there's been times in years past where they haven't, even in those obvious passing situations, they haven't created that pressure. So I think we're still seeing a little bit of a step forward. It just may not be as big as what, you know, I think we were all hoping for.
Yeah, even the Caden Ellis play was a 3rd-and-11. You know, that sack that came was an obvious passing situation, to your point.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, again, I think with Ryan Nielsen, one of the things that New Orleans is known for is their ability to kind of manipulate looks up front, especially, you know, using those linebackers and how they kind of rush and drop. And it's a quarterback's worst nightmare, really, with how they kind of mix those rush plans up front. Again, it's kind of why Ellis was pretty much unblocked. But I think that Ryan Nielsen probably has been forced to be a bit more creative and show a bit more earlier than he was probably hoping to. And again, his past and pretty much the last several years in New Orleans shows that if you have to use, you know, linebackers and have to kind of continue sending extra guys, he can do it and he can make it work. But, you know, again, I do think that right now, if you're looking at kind of an underwhelming unit, I would say that kind of outside pass rush is certainly an area the Falcons are hoping to improve in week three and then obviously throughout the rest of the year.
So we think that we're going to get, I think both Cordarrelle Patterson and Jeff Okuda are going to be back. And I think that, you know, again, I don't know if either of those guys could have played last week, but I think they were saving, you know, Okuda for a chance to get to play his former team and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, we talked about Patterson coming into the season and what kind of roles and stuff he could have. But now when you look at the reality of this offense and how it's playing out, what do you think his role is going to be? I mean, I'm going to be interested to just see what they do with him because they don't really need help running the football. So what is his role, you think, specifically going to be, you know, moving forward in this offense?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good question, and I think Arthur Smith is still trying to figure that out as well. I think you can, you know, after week one, he mentioned he's still kind of trying to figure out how to find that happy medium with Algier and Robinson's workload as well. And so I think adding Patterson into that mix, he's such a good playmaker, and, you know, I think Arthur has said on several occasions how much he values just trying to find ways to involve him, whether it be, you know, running game, passing game, however it may be. You know, throughout the off season, the things that they consistently said is that he's going to have more of a role and kind of be used more how he was in 2021. But again, that's kind of the role we've seen Bijan have so far. And so I do think it's a good question. I think they're probably going to end up scaling Bijan's total snap count back a little bit, try to get Patterson around 5 to 10 touches a game, especially early as he's still kind of, you know, reacclimating. But again, I do think there's ways to get creative with him. Arthur's proven that in the past that he is more than willing to, you know, find ways. And I think we're probably going to end up seeing him used primarily in that same running back role that he's kind of had so far in the last 2 years. I think you'll see him involved more as a receiver this year than last. I think, you know, last year he was used more as a running back because of really the way that room ended up shaping up. But this year, I think you're probably going to see him. I don't think his total snap count is going to end up being huge. But I think it's the type of deal that when he's out there, you know, even at age 32, he's still the type of talent and the athlete to where he can break a game with, you know, one play, one carry, one touch. And even last year, you know, towards the end of the year, he was still an explosive option. And so I think really the Falcons really haven't been overly explosive this year. They don't really – I don't think Arthur Smith's offense requires that. But I think adding Patterson back kind of provides a layer of explosiveness that currently isn't there. And, you know, the more creativity and the more that you can kind of mix and match pieces, obviously it's just more of a headache for, you know, opponents. And so I think with Patterson, to answer the overall question, I think you're going to see him probably get about 5 to 10, probably I'd say that 5 to 8 range for handoffs each game is probably – the safest bet. And then I think you'll probably see about try to probably have 2 or 3 targets for him as well. So you're looking at around 7 to 10 overall touches for him is probably what they're aiming for. Cause I think even where he's at now, he's still a guy that they want to involve and that they truly value inside that program.
Daniel Flick, he writes about the Atlanta Falcons for Fan Nation, part of the SI Network. You can find him on his personal Twitter page, @ByDanielFlick, and he joined me here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Daniel, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes on the show. We will certainly chat again with you here soon.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on.
You got it. When we get back from the top of the hour, will be time for the Falcons flyover. Going to give you the grades from Pro Football Focus for the Falcons and some other stats and then some power rankings across the board as we'll talk to our buddy Eric Edholm. He's got his power rankings out for the NFL. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.